Good morning to everyone. It's good to be together for worship, is it not? Turn our attention away from ourselves. Be reminded of the God who made us and gave us life this morning. Just a reminder that we welcome next week, July 9, next Sabbath, our new pastor, Pastor Chris Cheatham, and his wife Amber. He'll be speaking at our second service. Pastor Wright will be speaking at our first service next week. I want you to put your thinking caps on right away. I want to get your gray matter stirred up and whirling. I've got a statement from one of our early church fathers who wrote in the second or third century. Do we have that? Man by the name of Novatian. Listen to what he said. One of the most amazing, hard to comprehend truths about God is that He has always been and always will be. God has no origin. God has no beginning. Pretty amazing, which reminds us God is different from you and me. God is self-existent. He has always been and will always be. Have you ever, you know, maybe as a child or just maybe as an adult, you ask yourself that question, where did God come from? And in my mind, I'll tell you what I do sometimes, not often because it starts to hurt. But I go back to creation in my mind, and then I go back to heaven and I imagine the angels and I see God on His throne, and then I try to go back further, you know, kind of circling higher and higher, trying to find out or imagine where God came from. You know, he must have had a beginning. But I can't. I try to do that, and I simply cannot, we cannot comprehend the fact that God has no beginning. Because, you know why that is? Because we, you and I, everything we know has a beginning. Everything has a date of when it was made. We cannot conceive of anything apart from time. For example, when we moved to Maryland, in order, they make it hard here in Maryland, in order to register your car, I had to come to the they call it different in Virginia, DMV, MVA. I had to show them a birth certificate. I didn't have a birth certificate, but I knew I was born, but I didn't have a birth certificate. So I had to send away to Ohio, and I got a birth certificate. I am legitimate. And there on that birth certificate, if you saw it, it says, Doctor's Hospital, Cleveland, Ohio, 1952. You can do the math. I'm 10 years younger than Pastor Wright, which means he's 10 years wiser than I am. One of our cars, on the inside, the door, on the panel, has a little sticker. It says, made in Tennessee, July 2004. I checked out one of my CD players at home. On the back of it has a little sticker. It says, made in Singapore. And I was surprised at this, June 1998. That was a good one. Still is a good one. Technics. Not sure they make those anymore. Every person, everything has a date of origin, a time, a place of beginning. These are all clues that we are not God. Because God has always been. There are many, many scriptures I could direct you to, but one I just would share with you, a familiar one, Isaiah 40:28, that sums up this thought. Isaiah 40:28, it's familiar to many of us. The prophet asked the question, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the," what? "Everlasting God." Which means He's ever been and He will ever be. Everlasting. No beginning, no end. He's the Creator. And you would think that realizing that is a fairly simple thing. To recognize this God who is self-existent, self-dependent, self-sufficient would be natural. But it's not. It's not. Because God is so much different than us. He is that everlasting God. To come to Him as creatures with beginnings and endings takes a lot of humility. More than many people have. And so we try to bring God down to our level. We try to make Him like us so that we can understand Him. It is only when we accept that we are finite creatures, not infinite, we are finite. Again, that means we have a beginning, we have an end. There is a determined amount of time that is ours. When we realize that, and that we are dependent upon a Creator for every moment of life we have, that's the first step of faith. That is the first step of faith. When we realize that we are creatures. Creatures. Made in God's image. Which says, among many things, please listen, this is important. As creatures made in God's image, you and I can only know ourselves in relationship to God. So if we take away God, if we think away God, if we ignore God, we lose the compass to our existence. We have no way of knowing ourselves. Which explains perfectly why so many people today, they have no direction. No purpose for their lives. It's a natural consequence when we are disconnected from our Creator. It's like having a baseball glove but no ball. What is that baseball glove for if not to catch a ball? And to have it alone by itself is purposeless. Another one of the marks of being made in God's image is we have freedom of choice. This is amazing. God gave us freedom of choice so that we are able to reject the God who made us. Can you imagine that? God gives us this freedom. We can choose to be independent of the God who created us. We can choose not to honor Him, not to acknowledge Him. And we can, what happens? We choose to make ourselves the center of our lives. And we want then everything else to revolve around us. Because we become the center. Whereas God's original plan was that we would be like planets revolving around the sun with Him, God, as the sun. That, when we exchange places with God, we take center stage and we put Him out of existence, as it were, or to the outer edges. That is the core or essence of sin. We replace God as the center with ourselves or something or somebody else, which, by the way, the Bible defines as idolatry. Something else takes the place that only God deserves. Now, what is so amazing and surprising about this very thing is that it first happened in heaven. In heaven. How could it happen in heaven? Look with me in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Again, this is a familiar text to many of us, was read in our scripture. The Bible sets us up very briefly. It says, "War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back." Now, we're told in verse 9, and we know the dragon, it spells it out very clearly. It says the dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. So what, important question I think, what caused this war in heaven? How could there be war in heaven? It's an important question, because the same thing that causes war in heaven causes war on earth. It explains why the world is the way that it is. And on a personal level, do you want to know why there's strife and conflict in your own life? Look to the answer of that question, why was there war in heaven? Because that problem is our problem. Now, we know from Scripture, Satan was not always a devil. He wasn't created that way. In fact, the Bible tells us that he started out better than you and me. It's true. He was perfect. Look at Ezekiel 28 with me, verses 14 and 15. As he is described here in this Old Testament passage, it says, "You were anointed," speaking of Satan, or sometimes is called Lucifer, "you were anointed as a guardian cherub," or angel. That's what a cherub is. "For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were," what? "Blameless." Some Bibles will say you were perfect. "In all your ways, from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." So God created a perfect being, did he not? He did. But somehow, and it's hard to understand, but out of that freedom of choice, again, is that freedom to reject the God who makes us. And again, this is important because what happened to Satan, that's what happens to us. It's not just an old story. His old story is the same story that we continue to live. What happens to him, what happened to him, is the same thing that happens to you and me, to all people. Look at verse 17, still in Ezekiel 28. It goes on to say, your heart was filled with pride because of all your great beauty. Your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. Satan was not content. He wasn't satisfied with being just a creature. But that's what he was. But he refused to accept what he was. And it says, pride filled his heart until there was no room for loyalty to the God who made him. Slipping over to Isaiah chapter 14, which also speaks of what took place there, says it even a little clearer. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. Speaking of Lucifer at Satan, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne, where? It says above the stars of God. He wanted to go above the Creator. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. He's saying, I want equal billing with God. Do you notice that Satan, that Lucifer there, he had an eye problem, didn't he? Yes. I will ascend, I will raise my throne, I will make myself. It was all about himself. Which tells us, let's bring it to us. His sin, our sin, the central sin of everyone today is the same sin. Worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. Putting something, someone else in the center, where only God belongs. That's our biggest problem. The fact that we worship what isn't God. Everything else, you know, all those other different kinds of behavior that we like to categorize and describe, those are just symptoms. The fact that we are disconnected from God, that we're worshiping the wrong God, all of those other things simply flow out of the fact that God does not have the rightful place in our lives. Would you like to know the commandment that people break most often? I can tell you. I know. It's the first commandment, without question. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We break that one all the time. We put ourselves before God, the one who made us. Which tells me, that's who we need to fear. be worried about the most? Do you know the person who gives me the most trouble in my life? It's the person I see every morning in the mirror. He's my problem, not Satan. It's that guy I see in the mirror. Martin Luther, the great reformer, knew this too. Listen to the statement that he made. He knew about the evil in the human heart. He said, "I am more afraid of my own heart than of the Pope and all his cardinals. I have within me the great Pope self." It's true. It's true. We don't need to fear any other being. Our greatest fear and evil is within us. Because what happens is that this awful thing called self seizes the throne of our hearts, where only God belongs. And it exalts itself as a king or a queen upon the throne. And no one, not even God, will they allow to take that throne from them. And we hold tightly to that control and that power and say, "Out of my way." And who are we? Who are we fighting with? Who are we at war with? I would direct you to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus 3 and verse 14. You remember when God called Moses to go free the Israelites? And Moses is not wanting to go, and he's asking, making all these excuses up. And finally he says to God, "Well, what if I go?" And the people say, "Well, who sent you? What should I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." Some Bibles say, "I am that I am." Again, this mind-boggling name, is it not? I am that I am. Everything that God is, everything that is God, is found in this name. Because it describes God as, again, self-existent, independent of everything. He has life in himself. Underived, doesn't come from any other source. And this God, this is the true God. He is good, he is holy, he is righteous, full of truth. And so sin, listen to me again, sin is when we choose to ignore that fact. This only God, the great I am. We turn our back on the great I am. Now again, we can think about different ways in which sin reveals itself. You know, there is lying, there is stealing, we hurt other people, whether it's emotionally or physically, all sorts of bad behavior. But the essence of sin is just one thing. When we as created beings, made to worship before the throne of God, we take the throne ourselves. And from that elevated position on the throne, we say, "I am. I am." And we choose to live and do according to what we want and what we desire. That is sin concentrated. When we set our will against the will of God. And either we do it, you know, some people do it defiantly, and other people do it passively. And they simply go through life and they ignore God. They do not include Him into their thinking or their plans. They are not evil people per se. They simply are practicing a form of idolatry that puts them at the center of their lives. Rejecting God and replacing Him with ourselves. Denying the Creator, exalting the creature. So, my question, why is this so important to understand? And it is. Back in Revelation chapter 12, was read in our scripture, verse 8. I didn't refer to it, but I want to now, because it's significant. Why is this so important about, you know, getting the wrong thing in the center as to what we worship? Because notice verse 8. It says, but he, that is the dragon, Satan, was not strong enough in his fight against Michael and his angels. And they, see what it says there? They lost their place in heaven. Why did they lose their place in heaven? Because there is no place in heaven for anyone who does not humbly and gladly accept the fact that they are creatures. And that only the Lord God, the Creator, is deserving of worship and praise. People are excluded from heaven, not primarily because of their evil behavior, but because they don't choose to honor and worship the Creator God. They're worshiping the wrong God. It's worth noting, significant, and we're going to look at this a little closer in a few weeks, that in Revelation, the issue of worship is very, very central to this book. And we find that ultimately the deciding factor in Revelation, the time of testing that we'll look at closer, it really comes down to, whom will I worship? Whom will I worship? Is it going to be the beast in his image? Which, by the way, is a creature, right? Or do I worship the Lord God, who is the Creator? That's really the deciding thing. We'll see that in a few weeks. Notice, just to whet your appetite, chapter 14 of Revelation, verse 7. The first message of the first angel there, Revelation 14 and verse 7, it says, he said in a loud voice, fear God. That is, respect Him, honor Him, and give Him what?
Glory.
In other words, recognize Him as God. Give Him glory. Because the hour of His judgment has come. And then this last line, what's it say? Worship Him. And He is described there as the Creator, isn't He? Who made heaven and earth, everything in it. Worship, give glory to the Creator God. There is no place in heaven for those who are satisfied with creature worship, forgetting that we have beginnings and we have endings. And every moment of life is only because of the breath that God gives to us. And whenever we forget that, we become imitators of Lucifer. We get that eye disease where it becomes all about us. And we want to be in control of what happens to us. Which to me is a very scary thought, because that comes naturally to us. It does. We naturally like to see ourselves as the center around which everything else revolves. Sin by nature makes us self-centered. And so it is only when we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and righteousness, when we come to see clearly that we are just traitors sitting upon a stolen throne, and that this kingdom of self is not the best way to live. Only when we see that will we ever come to seek to have the true King rule in our lives. And we can have the experience of that prodigal son, who, even though he's feeding and eating with the pigs, he comes to realize, and the Bible says he came to his senses. And he realized that life didn't make any sense unless it was lived in the Father's house. There's really only two choices. Two responses that can be given. Either we sit upon the thrones of our lives and we cry out in that defiant voice, we say, I am the ruler of my life. I am the captain of my destiny. I am the master of my fate. Or, like Moses, we can take off our shoes, throw away all pretense, stop pretending to be kings and queens, and we can bow down upon holy ground. And we can allow the great I am that I am to have his rightful place in our lives. Really, only two choices. It's either I am that we yell out defiantly, or we bow down humbly and say, may the great I am have his place in my life. We come as dependent, humble creatures. And as we do, we find that at the touch of faith, the gates of God's kingdom swing wide open. Because for all who come in humility and faith, there is a place in heaven. Amen. Amen.